Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. SDPB's Brian Gevick is with us now to talk about a documentary on SDPB TV that ties into our Images of the Past conversations here. And this one is about Henry Frawley. Brian Gevick, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Lori. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for being here today. It's always a great day when you're on the show, so we appreciate that. Let's start with this story. Where do you want to begin with this?
I love this story. This is so cool. Let's start with the fact that Patrick Henry Frawley was the son of Irish immigrants who came over just after the potato famine, and they settled in Wisconsin. Well, he grew up, was educated, went to law school, and decided to come out to Deadwood in 1877 to practice law. Now, he came out with W.E. Adams and a lot of other people who are, determined to come out there and make money off the miners. And those are the people that became the business people who really built Deadwood and by supplying what the town needed. And in Frawley's case, that was legal services.
They're mining the miners for a little money, right?
Exactly, yeah. And he did all kinds of law. And you can imagine all of these land claims. There was criminal law. He did all of these different things. But he was also an investor. He owned stakes in gold mines, and he bought a lot of land. And his goal was to get into ranching in a big way. How he did that is by, quote-unquote, helping some of the original homesteaders. He had his eye on some land in the Centennial Valley, which is just east of Spearfish. Now, as the original homesteaders either failed or moved on for whatever reason, he'd buy them out. And you'll hear people say, well, he helped people out of tough situations. I just want to get out of here, take my stuff, and help me out. But it's also been said that he's loaned some money to people who couldn't pay and, kind of relieved them of their land in the end. At any rate, he did accumulate some property and became well known in the area and highly respected. Now, the story also includes another family and another very important person named Christina Anderson. She had come out to the Centennial Valley with her parents. She was just a kid. She was born in Yankton. Her parents were also immigrants, and he went into the dairy business, and he was doing a really good business taking milk up to Lead and Deadwood. Now, rich lawyer, a girl that was known as the Jewel of the Valley, it was inevitable. Married, and they threw in their fortunes, and so they were all of a sudden, they were the big landowners in the area. And this story played out in a way that looks pretty good. They had tough times, but they kept the ranch together through three generations. And, finally, in the late 1990s, Hank Frawley, who was actually Henry Frawley III, did end up selling to a development company. And that development company has put up a golf course. There are, multi-family buildings. There are single-family homes and so on. They are committed to that ranch together. But that is kind of how it played out. But there's a lot of backstory here.
Take me behind the scenes a little bit and tell me how you put a documentary like this together. There seems like so much work goes into it. So much research goes into it. How do you sort of try to find the thread of the story that really needs to be told? What's essential?
Well, first of all, there are other people about this extensively. For sure is one. She, is a writer out in the Black Hills area. So there is a lot of written material. Also, the Frawley family had a biography written, and there are records available to browse at the Homestake Adams Research Center in Deadwood. And I had a look at some of the letters and some of the other papers that Henry Frawley himself saved and passed down through his family. So you can look at some original sources if you want to. And also, I spent a lot of time looking at old newspapers, and that was very illuminating.
Yeah. Well, tell me some of the surprises that you found in those newspapers.
Well, the first one is that before Henry Frawley even left Wisconsin, he was in a practice in Eau Claire. He moved for some reason to a town to the east of there, and while he was there, a woman hauled him into a court and said that he had married her and that she was carrying his baby. And that was really all there was in the account. There wasn't anything more. It was practically a one column deal. So, you know, one assumes that that was settled. That, at any rate, was in early 1877. Now, he arrived in Deadwood in mid-1877, mm-hmm. So that's about as far away as you can get. There was that. As he was settled in Deadwood, there are references to a Mrs. Frawley in Deadwood, who was known in the community as basically his mistress. And she had her own address. She has a story of her own, obviously, but it kind of suggests to you that we don't know everything about Henry Frawley that there is to know.
We have some indications of his character.
Exactly. But there are also, I mean, mysteries just having to do with where he came from. If you look at various family records, immigration records, and so on, you can see that he could not have been born in the United States, which is where he said he was born. Mm. And there are just all of these indications that, you know, even going back to the original family, that you know, there's something a little bit not right about many of the stories. Now, the way that the Frawley Ranch story played out for Henry is a little bit sad. He had borrowed a lot of money on a gold mine that never produced, and he lost that. The pressure of that apparently sent him over the edge, and although he was able to continue working, he went into an asylum, or a sanatorium, as they would call them in those days, in Lincoln, Nebraska. And he was in and out of there for a couple of years. He finally passed away in 1927. Now, he had a request to have his body taken back to Wisconsin. There is a record that there was a payment made to a funeral home. And that's where it ends. There's no, his body was ever taken there, and there's no grave there. And I've checked with the various churches and the Madison Diocese and even the family who lives in Wisconsin. He has an extended family there. They don't know where Frawley is buried.
Really?
Oh. And it's especially odd because the Anderson family has a family plot on the ranch, and that's where the rest of the Frawleys and the Andersons are interred. Why Henry isn't there, who knows?
Huh. Brian, as we look at these stories of so many people who came to the Black Hills at a particular time, some are successful in the sense that they, you know, their businesses work or they become, you know, leaders in the community. Some don't. Some stories are mixed. As you do this research, can you see markers of, you know, who did particularly well and why?
It has to do, I think, a lot with skills and connections. Yeah. And, you know, Mr. Frawley actually came out to Deadwood on the same wagon train as W.E. Adams and another man who established himself in the lumber business. And when they got there, they were able to connect with some of the people who were already established. And in doing that, you know, I think it was probably inevitable for a lot of these folks. And I think most, if not all of them, did incredibly above board businesses. They really were people who were setting out to build a community, and that they would profit on the way was kind of a plus, you know, it was a benefit.
Does he leave a legacy, you know, behind in the area other than just the ranch, which was eventually sold? I mean, do we see his you know, fingerprints in other parts of community here in the state?
That's a really good question. I think really the true legacy is his ranch, but keep in mind that as he built that ranch, it was built on top quality stock, and that includes both cattle and horses. It was the premier and largest Hereford ranch in the entire region for quite a number of years before territorial days and well after. So I think, you know, in the sense that there are still markers certainly of the livestock that he helped propagate in the, that would be one contribution, certainly.
Brian Gevick, we have about a minute left. Anything that we want to end with that sort of says where people can find the documentary and learn more, where would we look it up?
Sure. You can you can see it online. It's not going to air on TV again for a little while, probably a couple of months. But it's totally viewable online at sdpb.org/images-of-the-past. Another place to look is going directly to our video portal, which we share with PBS, and that is at watch.sdpb.org. And you'll see an icon there for Images of the Past, and if you click on that, it's probably the first episode entry on that page.
Brian Gevick, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Lori.